top headlines.
J.D. Martinez is a Red Sox. He signed a five-year, $110 million deal. Martinez will make $50 million the first 2 years of that deal, $72 million through the first 3 years. He has two opt-outs, one after year two and one after year three. Bruins beat the Flames in Calgary 2-1 in overtime. Brad Marchand with the game winner. Tuukka Rask finished with 28 saves. Here's Marchand talking about his goalie.
Yeah, he was phenomenal, especially in the third. In overtime, they had a lot of really good opportunities. He played phenomenal. Got to give Nasher a lot of credit on that last goal. He made a phenomenal defensive play to kill that play and get it up. So great job by those guys.
Good job, Nasher. Bruins travel to Edmonton to face the Oilers tonight. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame, 8:30 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. In other NHL news, Blackhawks have banned four fans from their home games for directing racist taunts toward Washington Capitals forward Devontae Smith-Pelly over the weekend. The Blackhawks also apologized to Smith-Pelly and the Caps. Fergie apologized for her rendition of the national anthem at the NBA All-Star game. She had a statement. Clearly, this rendition did not strike the intended tone. She did remind us that she loves the country and she tried her best. Some NFL news. Baker Mayfield will not attend the draft, but will reportedly attend a dinner with the Dolphins in mid-March. The Chiefs may be looking to deal Marcus Peters after they have already dealt for Kendall Fuller and signed David Amerson over the last several weeks. And Doug Martin was released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Headlines are brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headline's coming up at 12:30.
Boston's home for sports. Boston's home for sports. It's just a command away.
Open your mouth.
Just ask your smart speaker to play. Play 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I need one of those.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How would you characterize the level of popularity that the team enjoys now versus other years you've run the team?
Well, I think that obviously losing David Ortiz is losing someone who is charismatic and a great leader.
We really don't need to be popular. We need to win.
One morning I woke up and I knew.
That was the ownership of the Red Sox speaking yesterday in Fort Myers. We go out to the expert hotline to welcome in from Fort Myers, from the Globe, Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Hey, Dan.
What's up, fellas?
What's the mood down there?
Electric.
Yeah, that was a moment yesterday during the owners thing, of course, which was like 6 hours before the J.D. Martinez thing dropped. But when they did the famous picnic table sitting there, and, you know, it's the annual once a year, and you know, not being a favorite of ownership, I was just tucked off to the side and being ignored. And so I interjected right in the middle with that question. I felt like Jack Ruby. I mean, John just recoiled, like at the hearing my voice and the whole thing. And then, of course, they stonewalled that. But that was an interesting quote, though. We don't need to be popular. That could live on.
Seems well. I mean, I think it's a good quote. I mean, I think it's been well received here, Dan. He's saying the opposite of what Werner's saying. Werner's saying we need personalities and we need to sell it. It needs to be a TV show. And the other owner is saying, well, how about we just win? That you know, your popularity will take care of itself if you focus on building a good team that's going to win.
Yeah, well, tell me, are you getting any buzz back there? Any bounce off the J.D. Drew signing?
The J.D. Martinez signing, that
there you go.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
see,
it feels like a J.D. Drew signing is what
exactly.
It feels like.
You know, the second day story on that, what you're going to see advancing is the Hanley component to that.
That's we already started with that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead,
well,
Dan.
Well, I mean, Hanley's got the clause. I think it's 497 at-bats, whatever.
Yep.
He gets $22 million next year when he gets to that. That's not going to happen now. I mean, unless he just goes to first base and tears it up and plays well defensively and hits everything, in which, you know, they'd have a really good lineup if he could be the Hanley of 2 years ago, the second half, that guy. But with Martinez, you know, he's going to be in the lineup every day. So that means he's DHing, and, you know, that – Hanley he'd have to beat out Mitch Moreland by a lot to be the everyday guy and get his 500 at-bats. And I just don't think it's going to happen. You get the righty-righty thing with Hanley, and Moreland bats left. He's a better fielder. I'd rather see Hanley in the lineup on a daily basis because he's just more threatening, more of a threat.
Bingo. Yep.
But it's going to be hard for him to get his incentives, and that's going to be another issue for Alex Cora, something he'd rather not deal with, he's going to have to deal with.
But don't you think that that might be a part of why Hanley came back to camp so committed, looks like he's gotten in really great shape and is, you know, looking good? I mean, don't you think that he knows that he has to force their hand is
Absolutely.
What he has to do?
I mean, you know, he didn't know they were going to sign, you know, J.D. Martinez for sure, but he probably expected they were going to. And you've got the idea that now he's got to – He told us he could play 158 games at first base. You know, he's all about it. He had the shoulder surgery and
nonsense.
And, you know, but he's defensively, he doesn't like to throw it. We know that. There's issues. And hey, he only hit, I don't know, 20 home runs last year, whatever. He said he was swinging with one arm. Maybe that's true. We'll see what he's got. But like I said, he's going to have to be significantly better than Moreland in order to go for that incentive.
Because he's going to have to play about 125 to 130 games to make it happen.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to need.
Hey, Dan, there was a Drillick tweak regarding your boss, John Henry, who grabbed one of the media members and jokingly, but went at him and said, what's wrong with not necessarily you, but you people, meaning the media?
Yeah.
Were you around it when it happened, and who was it?
I wasn't. I steer clear, and I know that it was not a Globe person. Somebody was exchanging pleasantries or whatever, and that was said to that other person, the non-Globe person, and you know, then it spread around because Drellick tweeted it, and everybody knew that it went on. So, yeah, I mean, it was a very, and again, it was.
Does he not have his finger on the pulse or the reaction to almost the exact same team returning with people not having a problem with it? I mean,
well, it was a stunning 18 minutes there because again, Martinez wasn't in the fold yet, which I guess probably they knew, but they were very. Stubborn, intransigent, combative, and just defensive, and basically throwing the whole coaching staff under the bus. Evidently, you know, Chili Davis cost him the playoffs last year with the approach. I just thought it was unusually pointed that we do have a different team. Haven't you looked at the coaching staff? And, you know, that's kind of weak. But, you know, they made up for that.
That's what they did to Frank Cohn on the way out with your book.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, you know, I mean, I just don't think, you know, these guys had a big impact on the fact that they lost, and they did win 93. So which was it? Did those guys deliver the 93 or did they screw up the playoffs? I don't know. I just thought it was surprisingly pointed that the coaching staff is the reason they didn't do better last year.
It was also bad timing. If they thought they were getting close on Martinez, they should have kicked this press conference to today.
I agree. I thought of that last night, Beetle. I'm like, what are they doing here? It's like, why would they have had that session, which was so
They didn't talk to baseball people is what it's telling you. Really?
Yeah, it was weird. And I really feel like they knew they were going to have the other thing later. So you're right. It would have just been better served to have waited a day and done the whole thing, wrapped it all into one ball today. We don't know. We don't think we're going to see Martinez until tomorrow. You'll probably have a formal announcement tonight and maybe put him out there tomorrow. There's some goofy picture online, too, of his 18th birthday at a Red Sox-Yankee game in 2006. He's all got Red Sox geek stuff on, so that's kind of cool.
Any stuff on Price? He had a sweatshirt on, said that we need leaders the other day. Is that poking fun at the situation? Is that giving a little thing back to the media? Or is this a serious thing that he's embracing?
I thought it was actually something completely unrelated to baseball.
Really? Okay.
I thought it may have been a political statement.
I wasn't sure. We're not really on good terms where I've been able to go up and talk to him about that, but that's a good... I wondered about that too, Beal, if it was just kind of a, you know, a political climate kind of thing and that, or if it was a spin-off of what they've all talked about with who's the leader. And you know, he seems a little more peaceful and happier and not kind of walking around angry all the time so far this spring. And I'm told Dave Nightingale from USA Today stopped by and got some quotes out of him, so I'll be interested to check those out later.
All right, Dan. Anything else going on down there?
No.
Quiet?
Living the dream. We got the college games Thursday and then the Twins. We play the Twins 1,000 times starting Friday, and I'm going to see you guys in studio next Tuesday. How about that?
We're excited for that.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Thanks.
Wow. We're very excited about that. The return of Dan's dates next Tuesday.
Hey, bring Rochi back a baseball or a bobblehead or something for him.
Yeah, a little trinket, a little souvenir.
A little keepsake for camp.
You guys been missing him down there?
Oh, yeah, it's not the same without Rochi. It's a little more sunshine. We need that here.
All right, Dan. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. As I mentioned, David Price speaking again today or yesterday. The big story has dropped from Bob Nightingale with quite a few quotes from David Price.
It's interesting. Dan said they're not really on good speaking terms, but I thought Dan was like one of the last ones to get, hey, come here, I got to tell you something. I thought they were good.
You will hear what David Price said coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before we get to David Price, the Bruins have made a trade, announcing today that the team has acquired defenseman Nick Holden from the New York Rangers. The Bruins have given up Rob O'Gara and a third-round pick in the 2018 draft. That's deal number one of more moves, I hope. But that's what they've done to this point. A left-shot defenseman.
I guess it'd be more of like those type of moves, right?
Well, I wonder if this is, you know, to correspond with another move they may make and move someone else off their roster. Like, that's what I wonder when you hear a move like this.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. If you have a reaction to that, let's hear it. 617-779-0985. Let's get to this. New story. USA Today, Bob Nightingale. David Price vilified in Boston helps lure J.D. Martinez for new chapter. Don't forget, J.D. Martinez, who is now a member of the Red Sox after signing his five-year deal, was a former teammate of David Price in Detroit. Parts of two seasons in Detroit, these guys were in the same clubhouse. They spoke several times, according to this story, during the winter about the possibility of Martinez signing with the Red Sox. They talked extensively just the other day. Martinez had questions. Price provided answers. Simply, Martinez wanted to know if he could be happy playing in Boston, the biggest fishbowl in baseball, where negativity thrives and the weak gets swallowed up like guppies.
Like David. Yeah.
He says, Bob Nightingale writes, where else could you have a team win 93 games in back-to-back seasons with two consecutive AL East division titles over the Yankees and still be hated by the populace? He says, yet, instead of telling Martinez to run back to the desert in Arizona, or even sitting out until some other team came along, Price gave him the lay of the land and what makes playing in Boston dramatically different. So before we get into the quotes.
Did you say special? What makes playing in Boston special? No, right?
No. It says the lay of the land, what makes it dramatically different.
He didn't say special. Just want to make sure that like that word or like positive words are in there, right?
Right. Well, this is from Bob Nightingale. He is painting Boston as a terrible place to play.
Of course.
I mean, that's obvious.
Oh, from an outside, yeah, it's amazing the beat writers don't get these, right? I mean, what's the last time? That's another thing. What the hell's, like, Pedro Gomez had all this stuff yesterday. What the hell you go down there 10 days early for, Pete Abraham, to watch guys play long toss? Nobody can give you a dime on anything? Dang, Jesus.
Chase around Linda Pizzuti until she gets your name wrong.
Hi, I'm down here in my shorts and my flip-flops. What are you doing?
We're here with Pete Abrams.
I wonder if he'd send Roach. Send him either.
So, this is, again, this is what happened. He made the pitch and the guy still came. That's interesting. Just on the surface, given his time here.
Well, unless he talked to the guy and said, well, how many other teams do you really have in on?
Here's what he said. Here come the quotes. Here come the quotes for Price. It's tough here.
Yeah.
There's just so much more negativity. I've never been one for negative stuff. I like surrounding myself by positive people. Even if my wife starts talking negatively, I let her know. I just can't stand it. Or I'm going to insert something here. Handle it.
What about is there a comment about the mother-in-law or the dog?
He says, I can remember Coach Corbin. That's Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin.
Here we go. Went back when he was at McDonald's.
Always.
Go ahead, keep going.
Always preaching
so positive.
That positive word, positive vibe, positive environment. I feel like I'm the same way. I try to find the positive in everything.
Oh.
Sometimes that's tough. Still, Price told Martinez to come to Boston where they could be teammates again and win a World Series. And then references what happened last year between him and Eckersley. And he said, I've never been through anything like it, Price says.
Wait,
there was so much going on. so much. It was a very trying year.
But it was past that.
If I wasn't making the amount of money I was making, it probably would have been, wouldn't have been a big deal, but I'm an easy target. Wow.
You know, last week, he took a step forward, and I gave him credit and said, hey, it's a baby step, but it's
just
a step forward.
Just went outside, stepped in dog crap.
Yeah, he took
can't help it.
He took accountability. He took responsibility for what he did. I could have done better. He does the same kind of thing there in that Nightingale piece. However, you know, I was talking about this with Louth in the back.
Tiger doesn't change its stripes.
You know, you've got to stop talking about it. If you say that you're looking forward, you want to move forward. Last year was last year. I could have done better. I want to focus on this year. Then focus on this year and stop going back to how negative it was last year. If you want to put it to bed, put it to freaking bed and just end it.
Didn't I tell you don't believe him? Didn't I tell everybody last week don't
Who
believe this guy?
Him? We didn't believe him. Gave him credit for saying the right things. That's what we did. We saying the right
but
things.
But I said don't believe him. We referenced the tweet. Right. I said Evan Drellick. Why? Don't believe this. Don't believe the guy. He's not believable. He said these things before. But he's an easy target because of the contract.
Yeah.
Jackie Bradley Jr. How much is Jackie Bradley Jr. making right now? Did he catch grief last year for his nonsense with the picture with Eckersley?
Yeah. Thanks for motivating me. Yeah. He took grief.
He's going to make
$31 million.
He's going to make $6 million this year.
Oh.
You know, I just look at this and
guy's soft.
It's obvious that Price doesn't have a great relationship with anybody locally here, right? I do think that he has friends nationally. And if you've noticed, last year it was John Morosi he talked to a lot. Even when he wasn't talking with the Boston media, he was talking to Morosi. He was talking to some of the national guys. Who gets these quotes? Nightingale, a national guy.
Maybe picked up the Morosi thing in Detroit. It's where Morosi's based.
You know, it's one of these things where I think Price has a certain number of media guys that he trusts, that he likes, and that he just is a nonstop yapper. And when it comes to locally, he's going to handle it a bit differently. He's going to have that hair across his ass. He's going to be a little bit surly, and he's going to try to cut things off. But there are, it seems like a handpicked amount of guys nationally that he will pontificate to nonstop about whatever they want to talk about.
Price then talks out of both sides of his mouth in this quote where he says, I don't think I would have changed anything last year, but I learned the way not to do things. I learned a whole lot. I'm a leader. I need to lead better. I know that. I feel like I've always lived with my actions. Always. Wait, you can't say
what a warrior.
That I learned that was not the way to do it, but I also wouldn't change it.
It's like
he's better off if he doesn't do another interview the entire year. Really?
No, he's got to talk, but he's got to.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. Because if he doesn't talk, he'll be criticized for not talking and being soft. And
he's
not,
already talked a lot.
Not
he
facing the camera.
A lot when he
but
got
that's
the
problem. Now, I mean, when you got stuff that he said a week ago that he totally contradicts, the guy's not a believable player.
I mean,
it's hard to root for.
He said it wasn't flawless. He said what needed to be said last week. He should have just moved on.
I addressed it.
Move on. Go out there, pitch in spring training, be ready for the season, and start anew.
Well, he says, I'm ready to move on. I look forward to to being just David Price.
Yeah. Well, you're looking forward to moving
person.
On. Then move on. Don't tell me that
Beware of people talking third person.
Don't tell me you want to move on, but just keep talking.
As soon as he says, I'm ready to just be David Price and move on, he then gets into, I rarely get on social media anymore. There's nothing but negativity. That's all it is. I can tweet out John 3:16, and I'm going to get crushed.
Well, that's true. I mean, Twitter is mostly accessible.
Yeah, there's no point. No point. I used to really enjoy it, especially Twitter, interacting with everybody. I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Huh.
I really enjoyed it. Now I go weeks without even opening it. I can't remember the last time I read mentions or used Twitter for anything. I definitely miss it. I miss the interactions with the fans, but I'm okay with it.
You're talking out of two sides of his ass. What are you talking about? You like it or you don't. Now you miss it. And then it went weeks before you even opened. You either miss it or you don't, or you like it. It's one or the other. He's just got to stop talking. He's so easy to attack.
He says now he's with an elite power hitter who has the chance to put up monster numbers in Fenway and, yes, get booed along the way. Oh, yeah, he'll get booed, Price said, laughing. I told JD he will love the guys here in the clubhouse.
Hit 20 home runs, he'll get booed.
But also told him he'll get booed. He's a quiet, soft-spoken guy, but he'll handle it.
Oh.
Besides, everybody gets booed. I heard Big Poppy gets booed many times at Fenway. Really? I heard him get booed many times at Fenway. Really?
There was a 1 year when he was hitting like 180 and people wanted to retire.
That was like 8 years ago.
No, I know. That's
the beginning
period.
Of that May when people thought he was potentially even going to get cut.
Yeah. I mean, that, it's just, again.
Clueless, man.
If you truly want to start over, then start over. If you truly want to say, let's put an end to what happened last year, I learned from my mistakes, I could have been better, then be better going forward.
His best quote in here is that he says it's different than New York or anywhere else. I know how tough it is to be here. It's tough when things aren't going good. I know that, but I can only imagine how good of a feeling it is when things do go good. I hope that we get to the World Series this year. If not, we don't get it this year, we'll get it next year. I want to experience that here. I really do.
All I can say is thankfully the Red Sox didn't have much competition signing J.D. Martinez because this recruiting pitch, I don't know how it works. Yeah. Be prepared to be booed out of the stadium, JD.
And I think that's a big part of this story, that JD Martinez, did he really actually want to be here? Did he want to be here? Or is this another guy that took the money in a situation where it really wasn't even being offered anywhere else? We'll talk more about that after headlines. Get your calls as well. On the Red Sox, David Price has spoken, and JD Martinez, now a member of the team.
Sports Hub Headlines.
The Bruins have made a trade, yes, with the Rangers for a defenseman. Not what you're thinking, though. Bees have agreed to send defenseman Rob O'Gara and a 2018 third-round draft pick to the Rangers for defenseman Nick Holden. Holden has played in 55 games for New York, has 3 goals with 9 assists. He's averaging 19 minutes of ice time a night, and he's going to be, I guess, depth, you'd say, to start off here in Boston. Bruins travel to Edmonton to face the Oilers tonight. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 8:30 right here on the New England Honda Dealers 98.5 The Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Red Sox finally get their guy. They agree to a contract with J.D. Martinez. The deal is for 5 years worth a total of $110 million. He will make $50 million in the first 2 years, $72 million through the first 3 years. He also has 2 opt-out clauses. He can opt out after year 2 or year 3. Celtics off until Friday night. Fergie apologized for her rendition of the national anthem at the All-Star game, saying the rendition did not strike the intended tone. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have released running back Doug Martin. And finally, the NCAA's Infractions Appeals Committee has upheld the Committee on Infractions ruling that Louisville must vacate its 2013 national championship. The year just keeps getting better for Rick Pitino. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters in Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield, where the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold. I'm Nick Cadelzik. Headlines coming up at 1 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
But could there be a worse, I guess, tour guide for Boston?
I was just thinking David about Price. This in the other room.
It's unreal.
If you're J.D. Martinez and you're scrolling through the stuff of him, you know, as an 18-year-old celebrating his birthday and seeing the cute pics and, you know, Red Sox gear, that's it's a cool thing. Yeah, now your team's going to pay you $50 million in the first 2 years of your deal signing with them. I was just thinking, was it good that he talked to David Price? Because, okay, you're with him in Detroit. Understand that. If I'm J.D. Martinez, I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to go to Boston. I want to talk to guys that feel that, you know, I would go to Benintendi, I would go to Pedroia, to where I want to talk to a guy that's won 2 rings in Pedroia that was an MVP, that lives, eats, drinks, sleeps, and dies Boston. I don't want the negative guy. I know what that guy's doing.
Well,
that guy went there for the money.
I don't disagree with his method, because if you want to know what the worst possible thing that happened, you want to know what's the worst case scenario?
You got Pritt paid.
Talk
rich.
To the guy who's been through the worst case scenario.
Yeah, but that guy brought it on himself. You know, that's that guy's fault. That guy caved. That guy turtled. That guy was soft in big moments.
You know, I still think, though, no matter what they say, and no matter how they react towards the media and stuff,
give me Ortiz. You know, talk to Ortiz.
But if they're successful, though, it's really not going to matter. I mean,
sure. That's the thing. That's the problem with Price. He's not successful here. I mean, technically. I know you're going to go regular season and say, well, the guy helped get you there. Yeah, I get that.
He was great last year in the playoffs out of the pen. I know that's not what people wanted to see.
Was he coming out of the pen to start this year?
No.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Back to the original part.
But, I mean, he's had one playoff start here. It was bad. But, again, I want to be somewhat fair to him and say last year in the playoffs, he was reliable. He was one of the only guys on that staff, starting rotation and bullpen, that you could actually have some confidence in.
I agree with you. It looked like he had balls. He had a different look in his eye. Totally.
I mean, and that's what's so annoying about this.
And he can't harness that and do it to himself for seven innings. I don't understand it.
It's so annoying that he was, you know, he came back. A lot of people thought he was going to be done. He was going to tap out for the year last year because of the shoulder. And, you know, that was it. His elbow, his unique elbow. He was going to tap out. He was done. He comes back, and then he had to leave again, and people were saying, well, he's just doing this to dodge the fans, et cetera, et cetera. And he's not going to come back now. Well, he came back. He pitched well at the end of the year. He pitched well in the playoffs. Then last week, he talks to the media, and he says mostly the right things. But he has this innate ability of shooting himself in the foot every freaking
time. Can't help himself.
Yep.
There are people that can't help themselves in this world. He's one of them.
Every time.
You go out, now you got to talk day one. You got to say, I got to change. I got to do this and that. And if it's posed to you again, don't take the bait. Just say, guys, I addressed that. We're talking about new stuff moving forward. Belichick does it all the time. Or addressed it. We addressed it. You put a statement out. You talk about it for a day. You take a kick in the ass and you move forward.
Jim was saying off the air, having David Price as the guy to sell you on Boston would be like Malcolm Butler selling somebody on the Patriots. Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's one thing. It's just
bizarre. It's odd. It's odd, but I mean, you make sense.
Unless you told them, teammates, they pay, man. They pay.
They're buddies.
You're going to get paid.
They played together. He obviously can offer, hey, worst case scenario, this is how you get treated here. He can give them that talk.
I mean, it's just, you're approached by Bob Nightingale, if you're Price, to talk about J.D. Martinez. There are so many different angles that are positive that you could take and run with it. And continue the steps forward with the Boston fan base, right? He could have easily said, yeah, I talked to him. He was my teammate in Detroit. I told him that the fan base is passionate. We've won back-to-back division titles, but we need to take that next step, and he could be a vital part in that. I think he's going to be a great help to this team. that's it. End of sentence. Move the hell on.
So if you're David Price, where did he want to go? We all know where he wanted to go when he was a free agent. He probably wanted to be in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And they didn't offer the money. And the Red Sox blew their offer out of the water. And so where is he now? Yeah. In Boston, because he took the money. J.D. Martinez, was there even another offer? Was there another offer?
No, so supposedly...
And so it automatically begs that question, does the guy really want to be here? Because if he just heard everything David Price told him, and we may be getting the sanitized version of what he had told him, and he still ends up here... Did he have no option? Was he actually fed up with the Red Sox, as it was reported a couple of weeks ago? Great, he was 18 years old and he had a Red Sox shirt on at a Red Sox game. That doesn't mean all of a sudden he loves it here and wants to be here.
Yeah,
I think that's going
Todd
to be...
Todd Frazier did it too with the Yankees. I mean,
you know, it's you look at the history of guys taking money, and Price leads that list right now because he's currently on the team. But you look at the Carl Crawfords of the world, you look at the Pablo Sandovals. We've had a number of examples in this city that if you come here for the money and you're not truly ready, coming here for the money is not that big of a deal. I mean, you know, guys only have so long to play. Zoe would agree with that. You've got a window. You make as much as you can. It's whether or not you're going to embrace the city. You don't have to.
Well,
you don't have to be the mayor, but you've got to be ready.
You got to look like you want to play here and you want to be here and that it's endearing to you. And also, it's a numbers-based sport. That's why I keep saying, well, how many is going to hit? Give me a number.
Yeah.
Give me a number target, because if he's not on pace or close to that, this guy's going to have problems here, especially if he's laid back. And
I think people look at him and say 40
home
runs.
That scares me that Price said that. And he's kind of a laid-back guy, you know, quiet.
See, I think there's not one way that works, but you've got to be ready if you're going to get criticized.
Gasper
right?
said this months ago.
Like Pablo.
Gasper was on this months ago about him. I don't think it's going to work here in this market.
You know, Pablo couldn't take the criticism. Hanley's had some issues. Price can't take the criticism. Carl Crawford was terrible handling criticism. So Martinez, if he's laid back and he's quiet, but he takes criticism well and he doesn't lash out and he doesn't become, you know, bitchy and it becomes a problem, then no one's going to have a big issue with it. But he has to be ready. Is he ready mentally to say, man, if I get off to a slow start, if the month of April and I'm not good, am I ready to handle the backlash? Because I know I'm going to get it. Because if he handles it and then he follows that up with a good May, then I think all is forgiven. Boston fans will love you if you produce. Boston fans will love you if you seem like a human being and you don't crumble when you're questioned about certain things. So he could be laid back. He could be calm. That's fine. He doesn't have to be a rah-rah guy. Can he handle the criticism? Will he be able, if he gets that, to answer it and produce? And if he does, everything will be fine.
Tom is in Cohasset today. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going? So I wanted to sort of just get your feel on sort of the young guys on the team. If that's having any effect on like a guy like JD signing here. I mean, granted, it doesn't sound like there's too many reports of other offers, but you know, ESPN just came out with this article talking about how Core is like really hyped up about, you know, a guy like Xander Bogaerts making a huge return and even though, you know, producing more than some of his 2016 numbers. So I'm just sort of curious if you think any of this is playing into like, you know, us taking down some of these talents. If there's any validity to,
I don't understand your question. You mean because he feels like they're talented, good young players and he wants to play with them?
Yeah, that and, like, you know, there's also the possibility that they could actually have, like, a guy like, you know, Xander and then, like, if JBJ could actually, you know, step up and actually have a career year and, you know, really make a push. Because, I mean, sort of you look at some of the other lineups in the AL.
I doubt it. That seems to me like it would be way down the list.
I think he's here because I think you're going to find out there's one team that was a taker and the most money he was going to get from them was $100 million. They came up from 100 to 110 to juice for a little for him. He won it over 125. He found out the market's not there. He's running out of time. And I think Boris got him, but I credit them for holding their ground. They only had to come up another $10 million to get him.
Dave Dombrowski, again, I give him credit today for waiting this one out. I also give him credit for the opt-outs.
Yeah.
Because those are good.
You know, we have all these.
It's a good deal. If you had told me at the start of the offseason, I've been very much against the Red Sox going for J.D. Martinez. I wanted them to completely take a pass on this player. But had you told me, hey, it's going to be 2 years and $50 million, I'd be like, oh, no, go ahead, do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's a decent chance this is what that turns out to be.
Because what are the options here? You know what I mean? If he is truly miserable, now he can get out earlier, which is good news for everybody involved. If he is motivated to make more money, like Zoe said, he was looking at hoping, praying. I mean, to begin the offseason, Boris goes out there and calls him the king of slug or whatever the hell and says $200 million. So he was looking at that money. So if you get a motivated guy who wants to make just big bank, he's going to rake for 2 years and then he hits free agency and you let him walk at 32, 33 years old.
Alex Cora just said Hanley Ramirez will be the team's number three hitter. That is what he just said literally seconds ago.
Say right now, though.
Right now. He is the number three hitter. He is slotted in to be the number three hitter
on this
team. Well,
we know the top two are 1 and 2. He said that in the lineup he does.
We do. So that would leave J.D. Martinez batting cleanup. And he's going to use
Dustin Pedroia somewhere at the bottom when he gets
little guys, little leader's going to be around 7 or 8, right?
I don't hate that. I don't hate that. This is where he's at in his career. Sorry. That's just facing facts. Okay, so we will continue on that. We'll have more on that coming up. Also, we need to get an apology from Scott Zolak. Scott Zolak is going to issue an apology coming up next to a particular band.
Okay? I'm not very fond of, for good reason.
Yeah, he does not like. And we'll be giving away Bruins Canadians tickets right after this.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Also, welcome Grammy-nominated and internationally acclaimed world touring band The Fray in the performance of our national anthem.
This was previously Scott Zolak's worst national anthem ever in his national anthem rankings.
It's an embarrassment.
He had this one bottom of the list, dead last.
Final Four, Jim Nantz sets them up. I just remember them being the halftime entertainment instead of the dogs riding monkeys, or the monkeys riding dogs, sorry, out in Denver for the AFC Championship game. It's like one of those Mountain Denver-based bands. They can do their own thing. Songs made to be sung a certain way. Now they tried to make it their own. Didn't work. Thought this was one of the worst renditions of the national anthem I've heard. Get into this with Rich earlier today, too. Rich, yeah, you know, Roseanne Barr's up there. Well, that I think that was done intentionally. You know, she's just, I'm going to butcher it, you know? When artists try to take it and make it their own.
Well, Roseanne's a comedian, too.
Well, I mean, like, when Prince put out that Viking song, and I know Prince is Prince, but somebody in Prince's little recording group, hey, bud, that's not really that good. You probably shouldn't put this out there to public ears. And then we had Fergie. Then we had the one and only Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas. This is what happens when you branch out from the Black Eyed Peas, too. When some
really,
works,
is that what happens?
Okay.
You fall apart.
You start thinking, I got to do this and that now. She's a creator of Humpy Humps, one of the best songs out there that works for that song and that genre. Now, she was told or asked to sing the national anthem for the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game. And when you have NBA players giving her the Google eyes like, whoa, what are you doing? We got to play this. Give me a Jim. Here's Fergie.
Perform the Star-Spangled Banner is an acclaimed singer, songwriter, actress, and 8-time Grammy Award winner from Hacienda Heights, California, Fergie.
Pause. The PA announcer.
Good pipes.
I love that you left him in. Great pipes. Reminds me a little bit of Matt McCarthy, maybe? It's got a little bit of Matt McCarthy
in
it.
It's like, I'm holding my nose, but I am underwater, but I am not.
I would say if we're trying to find the closest match to that individual here at our station.
Yeah.
From Hacienda Heights, California, Fergie.
Hey.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early what so proudly wave at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
I guard the golden pond. She could sing.
We're so gallantly streaming in the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting.
Hey now.
Pause. You got to pause there. You got to pause that. And I'm going to tell you why. When that happened, that's when everybody lost it. Did
yes.
you see the player reaction?
Yep. Yep.
That's when they all started.
Draymond Green.
That was the Draymond Green
Draymond
shot.
Green. Did you see Kimmel? Kimmel yep. started. Jimmy Kimmel was in the front row with all the celebrities that were there with it being in LA. He started laughing. This is when people lost it. In watching it, that's when I laughed out loud.
It's like some of America's Got Talent. Like they show up and like
right.
Thing.
It's
and
like Simon Cowell
too hard.
Telling some idiot on American Idol, no, you suck.
Yeah.
Move it along.
You're gonna move your voice like 18 different octaves, and it's up and you don't. She
but then,
have
that
to
was my
it.
Favorite part because then everyone in the arena was like, okay, this sucks, and we all realize it.
My
now.
Favorite part is like it's coming very soon. It's like right after
all
that.
Right, let's Whoa. Finish it out. Let's
I apologize for. Oh, God.
There we go.
Does that star spangled
right.
banner yet?
That's the one. That's
that?
The one.
Yeah.
What's up? It sounds like there's a laugh track.
Everybody's clapping.
It sounds like you're laughing.
And the home of the brave.
Yeah. Poor Josh Duhamel.
Where's he at? Let's play some basketball.
So here's my question.
Oh boy.
Poor Josh Duhamel's got to deal with that lad that night.
Here's my question to you guys. How far into that was she thinking to herself, this isn't going well? Like, was it like 20 seconds in or
halfway through?
When she gave those little pauses to where you're looking for a crowd reaction and...
You got crickets or laughter? Kind of, I might be missing on this one.
Yeah.
And you can't see... You are... Yeah, there's the smattering of applause from dozens of people. When you are...
They're laughing at her.
Like, she's all in, too. Like, when you do something like... She can't bail halfway.
Well, and the acoustics there, they're just following
her.
It's not like that scripted or she's got
to... You can't change up what you're doing.
She can't bail on that. She has to... Once you've made that decision to do that, you've got to stand by it. And so she's probably thinking, this isn't going
just
well.
Down the middle. Just middle.
It's got like a sad trombone.
It does.
There's no middlers on Pink.
It's like if you go to New Orleans and you go to one of these jazz clubs,
right?
Like three in the morning.
You're in a jazz club
in New Orleans, 3 a.m. and they're in the corner. Like
she tried to make herself Amy Winehouse.
It's just, it wasn't good.
Like Pink. No, you shouldn't. Get out. Leave now. Like Pink nailed it at the Super Bowl. And there's people that are either in or out of it.
With the flu.
Nailed it. Down the middle. Boom.
She said something along the lines of, I like to be artistic. And she tried outside the box
and it failed miserably. This is what musicians do when they say, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And I'm looking outside the box.
Failed miserably.
I love the country and I'm sorry I gave it my best. That's not your best. She's better than that. That's the sad part. She can sing.
Skiddly doo dot.
She can ski. You're not a scat man. It's not the scat. It's not the time to go scat. Scat jazz. Sorry. Terrible.
Oh, it's brutal.
She's apologized. Did the Frey ever apologize?
No, they just suck.
Give her credit. I give her credit.
No, I do give her credit.
I was like, yeah,
because I blew it.
Swing and a miss.
Hey.
I do give her credit for sticking by it. Like, continuing to sing it that way.
Right.
She was committed. It sucked. She knew that it sucked. But at least she saw it through.
Yeah, Frey didn't say, hey, we're firing our guitar picker. The guy came out, ding-a-ling. No, we're not doing that.
She saw it through the painful conclusion of it.
Whew.
Swing and a miss.
Oh, yeah.
If you can admit that you
that was not
a good job,
bad miss,
all right.
That's not even like a swing. It's like the swing and the miss, and when Pablo Sandoval's belt busted in Toronto, that's a little bit more apt. Like that's like pants falling to the ankles too.
Caller 10, caller 10, right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. I have to read this again now. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985 will score a pair of tickets to see the Bruins take on the Montreal Canadiens Saturday, March 3rd at the Garden. Be caller 10. Contest line only right now, and you will win the tickets also right now. Nick Cattles with Sports Hub Headlines.